You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
Yeah, what's good, everybody? Welcome to another what?
It's the Cooligans, buddy.
That's right. And I'm here with my guest co-host coming through because Alexis is now known as the most unreliable person in the industry. We don't know. Will he show up? Will he? Won't he?
We wait every day.
You never know. Every day. And, you know, it's just playing the lottery to see if he's going to show up. But I'm joined by my esteemed guest. You've seen her on Attacking Third, on Morning Footy, CBS's own Christine Cooper. What's good, Christine?
What up? I'm happy to come through and super sub for Alexis.
Let's go. Yeah,
you scoring all the goals today.
You're here. You came in the 88th minute to close this out. You are the Mariano Rivera of.
Enter Sandman. Then. Yeah, let's go.
There you go.
Let's go. So
you like that? I knew a baseball reference. Right? I didn't expect it.
You know, when I said it, I was gonna do a little bit of like the mansplaining, like, "Oh, let me explain to you, Mariano Rivera." And I'm like, "Oh, wait,
explain the arm sports to me. I'm not sure."
I'm like, she's from New York. I'm sure she knows. I'm glad I was right.
I was a born Yankee fan.
Okay, I'm a Mets fan. Mm.
Yeah.
A house divided, truly.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
I mean, we all suck now, so it's not like anyone.
Okay. All right, both Yankee Stadium and Citi Field are available for NYCFC. So that's not usually a good sign. They just moved the game that was supposed to be at Red Bull Arena, the final MLS game for NYCFC, and they moved it to Citi Field. So whenever any of those changes happen around October, it's like, oh, okay, baseball taking a break. Okay, we're done.
New York baseball's done.
Maybe next season.
I'm excited to be here, especially because we have a lot of, we have to obviously recap the U.S. Open Cup final. We're going to talk some Serie A because you are the Italy expert. Okay, we're going to talk about focaccia. I don't know. I'm trying to think of all the Italian
and
foods.
And you're like, what words do I got here? Focaccia.
Sounders and a bunch of other stuff. So let's start with Serie A and probably the biggest news because I was watching the Napoli match. They played
yesterday.
Who'd they play? Why don't I remember?
I'm totally forgetting. They won 4-1. I'm totally blanking.
Yeah, they dominated. I forget who they played.
Udinese. Sorry.
I like how I froze up, too. I'm like, you know what?
We all were like, scrambling. Who did they play
right
against?
Before going live, Jerry asked what day it was.
Focaccia FC.
Udinese.
I'm pretty sure it was Focaccia FC. But no, even during the broadcast, it was constantly highlighted. Osimhen scored a goal, but throughout the broadcast, they just kept bringing it up about what Napoli, the social media team. The admin never wants to be the story. We all know this. Admins of teams should live in the shadows.
Yes. You're the voice of the team, of the brand, not of yourself.
Yeah,
and you definitely do not ever want negative attention brought to yourself.
It's a healthy balance because we have friends that are social media admins.
A lot, actually, yeah.
Right. And some are a little bit more public than others.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's a careful balance because if you do something wrong and everybody knows who you are, they're going to remind you of it because they know exactly who you are. So some social media admins, are on the low. They just, it's like, hey, who do you work for? And like, oh, no, I don't got waste management. Yeah. Why are you asking
Paint
all these
houses.
Questions?
Don't ask
Why are you asking
me?
All these questions?
What do you mean? What do you mean? What do I do?
So if you haven't seen it, I just want to play it first and then we'll talk about it. But Osimhen, Victor Osimhen, obviously incredibly talented striker for Napoli, who essentially got them their first trophy or their first Scudetto in 30 years.
One of the leading goal scorers in Serie A.
Yeah, the dude is an absolute beast. And on TikTok, you know, there's I follow Napoli on TikTok because I'm like, oh, they have fun with it. And they had a little too much fun because Victor Osimhen misses a penalty. And they decided to make, they were like, content. Let's make like content out of it. And here it is real quick for the, we'll explain it after for the people who are just listening. But here's the video. Okay, so it's you hear the
that is so annoying. Oh my god, just listening to it.
Apologies for everybody listening. It's just, I mean, the words that you're hearing are what is basically on the screen. It's like a chipmunk voice of him asking for a penalty for a handball, takes the penalty and misses the penalty. So this is on Napoli's official TikTok account. So they are like kind of making fun of the fact that he missed the penalty. I assume they won the game because
no, they drew 0-0 draw against Bologna.
Oh my god! So you know he kind of feels bad about it.
Of course, there's not a single player, especially a striker, a goal scorer, that wants to be reminded after the fact outside of their own mind. Because trust me, he's thinking about it.
Yeah.
That you know he's missed a pen.
Yeah. So well, I mean we've met strikers. They are a sensitive folk. Okay.
Possibly the most sensitive on pitch, but that's another discussion.
But that's what makes them great because yeah. They're so deeply passionate about scoring goals that it's life and death to them. So when your own club is kind of making fun of you for missing a penalty, you start thinking about how did it even get to this point where this level of like, you know, whether somebody could think it's disrespectful or not. I saw that there was some Italian pundit, Marika something. I don't know if she's famous or something, but she basically, I'll look up the actual quote, but she was essentially saying like, kind of, you know, grow up, be an adult, like, you know, they weren't trying to like attack you, they were just trying to be playful, like you know.
No, there's a standard. No, there's a stand. I'm sorry, but there's a standard expected of a team account, and it's not to behave like a banter account. There's plenty of those on the internet.
Right, right.
And to me, that exact clip is something that I'd expect of one of the derivative banter accounts across TikTok that are just pulling and aggregating like flops and misses and things like that. Yeah. Which there's a time and place for it, but like it certainly isn't your own club.
Yeah, the fact that it came from and now I didn't realize that they drew in this game. I mean, it's just like the stakes were so high, and to kind of be playful about it.
Right. I mean, they haven't had a very sure-footed go under Rudy Garcia. This is not the kind of thing that you want to be highlighting as a side that just came off of a Scudetto winning season after 33 years. It's inappropriate on so many levels. It's in poor taste, right? It is.
Marika Fruscio. And this is the quote. It's going around. It's Italian journalist. So this is basically what she said. You're a champion, but it takes humility. What's the use of deleting the photos of the team that worshipped and supported you? Clarify.
This is in response This is in response to, I haven't seen this from Marika, but this is, quite frankly, this is not it.
Yeah.
This is not it on so many levels.
So because
to criticize a player who is responding now in twofold to a collection of things going on amidst a contract renewal cycle is just tone deaf on her part.
Yeah, because he deleted all his pictures on Instagram that had anything Napoli related in it. So look, he took it very, very personally. I mean, I think
it's not a team that worshipped and supported him. It's a fan base that have worshipped and supported him.
Right.
That's outside of it, right? You want your teammates to be your biggest fans as well, but this has nothing to do with the actual fan base. So I don't really know what she was trying to get at there with that, but it's adding more insult to more injury.
Yeah,
it has nothing to do with humility. It has to do with what's right and proper, exactly. Especially in supporting your players.
And it takes the accountability away from the club and just be like, yo, man up. They didn't mean anything by it. And right. It's just like, all right, no. Well, no. It's like there's, and then there's the other. I think this blew up even more because Fabrizio Romano had posted it, and then he also in his tweet he says the player's agent Calenda announced that Osimhen is considering to take legal action against Napoli, which is an interesting. I don't know what that means. What is the legal action per se from a kind of a silly TikTok? But maybe the legal action is maybe a violation of some sort of contract of like, you know, you're not allowed to like disparage me on the account.
I'm sure because quite frankly, having worked for Italian teams before, part of my contract is I'm not permitted to make disparaging remarks about this team.
Right, right.
So I'm sure that it's probably a two-way street with the player contracts. But that aside, defamation, slander. He could certainly go after them for that. Sure.
I mean, as a comedian, I'm like, it's a little goofy, but don't get lawyers involved, right? I mean, that's if I was sort of making the joke, that would be the
problem is it's your employer.
Yeah.
It's a different relationship that you have tied to that just you clowning on. Because quite frankly, like, yes, you can say whatever you want, right? If you wanted to go on full serious tear,
I would never say anything to his face.
Right. But if you wanted to go on a tear right now, the ramifications are entirely different than if it's, I don't know, you clowning on Meadowlark or vice versa.
Yeah, right, right.
In a similar forum.
Sure. Yeah, this is where the, who were we talking to? Was it Kev about the Steve Harvey thing?
I think it was Kev.
Steve Harvey recently on his Twitter account posted a tweet that just said, what comedians do you think are not funny? Like a famous comedian posted a tweet saying what comedians are not funny, and he had to write an apology because he had to say an apology. He made a video saying like, hey, I would never allow this. I didn't type that. I have a company and people were talking to me about like, we need engagement. And this is where it feels like Napoli is like, hey, we need engagement. These are silly things that the kids like.
I think this was genuinely just a very empty-headed move that they were garnering for clicks and for engagement, and they didn't think beyond that. And that's the unfortunate part, right? It's like you need additional vetting, especially when you're representing yourself as a global brand.
Sure.
Because this isn't just within Italy, right? You have fans all over the world.
For sure.
So when you're navigating things, you're also communicating across cultures. If you don't have someone on your payroll that's capable of adding that extra layer of, I'll call it worldliness, you're going to make errors like this.
Right. And that's why for the Cooligans, I'm the person on that payroll that does exactly that. Because, you know, a lot of times, you know, I look at even, and this is kind of a broader conversation about what like soccer and football social media is like, right? The sort of nameless and faceless accounts that are aggregators. Like, we don't aggregate pretty much anything. Like, it's very rare we take like some other content and then like repurpose it to do anything.
Yeah.
Like unless we're doing like legit commentary on it, but like, we don't just like post other people's photos, which is that there's a lot of that on social media. They don't tag the photographer. They just do whatever they want.
I mean, I've had photos taken from me before by larger accounts that just, they don't even just quote tweet it. They just
Take it, and then in the below
comment, it's like CC at C Kupo, and I'm like, cool, man.
Just like after like all the at the end of all the hashtags that nobody's ever gonna like look at. And stuff. So it's a thing that, you know, even we're mindful of it. We think about how we are sort of presenting our opinions or thoughts. Like it's not. Sometimes it's not always worth the engagement, right? Like, I mean, this is another example. Napoli, this is another TikTok that they did that just kind of makes no sense. I just don't understand the point of it. But here goes. I'm a cocoa nut. I'm not a boy. And I'm not a girl. I'm a cocoa nut. I am the cocoa nut. Hey, I'm a cocoa nut. Cocoa nut. I mean, look.
So weird,
it slaps, I get it.
Honestly, it's one of the most irritating TikTok sounds to me personally. It's just very annoying.
I mean, man is spitting bars, but this is kind of a waste of time. Who is this? Who is the audience for this?
Honestly, Gen Alpha.
But even Gen Alpha has to be like, cringe, bro.
No, because they had the whole like toilet meme too. So things get... I can't even pin this on Gen Z like everybody wants to. Yeah. I would say this reeks of Gen Alpha because they like very like to us would be like 2011-esque memeing.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what this is.
Right.
Now, if you look at this TikTok sound, I'm going to expose myself as being on TikTok way too often, not posting, but understanding these like memes and trends way too well. Almost all of the videos under this sound are largely like people posting their dogs or their cats and stuff like that.
Right.
And then for some reason, a largely like Indonesian skew. Okay? Okay. Like people, but people posting themselves, like making themselves into this coconut meme, not doing it to other people. Yeah. Okay. Right. So now there's different layers here because the cultural significance of calling someone a coconut, both as like a slur or otherwise, has myriad meanings depending upon what your geography is.
Yep.
Right.
Now in Italy, like as it's applied for a lot of these TikTok trend use for the dogs, it's like these dopey looking dogs and it's meant to be like empty headed. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is still not a thing that you want to be calling your striker.
Exactly. Okay? I think
so. There's that problem there. Now the other layer of it is for many cultures, it reeks of racism.
For
okay.
Sure.
Now, whether or not that was the intention, here's the issue with being a global account catering to a global audience. You need to be able to anticipate how this is going to be received. Now, can you do that all the time? No, but can you do it to more of an extent than this was done here? 1,000%.
Absolutely. Right.
You know, whenever...
Were the clicks worth it?
No.
Were the clicks worth it? Because I guarantee if this person who runs the account or a series of these people that is the chain in command to run these accounts hasn't been dismissed, I would be shocked.
Right, right. Yeah. I mean, I it makes me think of... You know, also congrats on the writer strike and the ending. But
WGA.
Yeah, shout out. I used to write monologue jokes, right? I used to submit them for like late night shows, SNL, stuff like that. And the one thing you learn in like with monologue joke writing is like who is the target of a joke. Most jokes have, you know, this is a thing Alexis and I always disagree on because Alexis has no interest in having any kind of structure to comedy when it's like there is some structure to it. But every joke has a target, has someone that you are making fun of to some degree. And it's like when that applies in social media and that's what applies to, you know, with this kind of humor. And it's like if you're coming up with jokes and it's like, why pick Victor Osimhen to be the butt of them? I mean, as far as lifting up any kind of one of your players, one of your assets, what it just makes
it's
no.
It's just a lack of respect.
They've done like one other, and it wasn't. It was just a dumb TikTok focusing on Kvara. That had also passed, and it's like I understand the selection of the players because you want the perfect Venn diagram of like who do people care about on this team plus like major clicks just because it's trending. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you would pick one of the two of them, but like the way it was applied was just flawed.
Yeah. Sure. I mean, they shouldn't be the butt of the joke.
It should never be, in my opinion. Two, if you want to venture into uncharted territory in this way as a team account, it should be cleared by the player, their agent. Yep. Like there should be an expanded chain of command.
For sure.
There was a recently USMNT video where they were training. And I think like Ricardo Pepi got like nutmegged or something like that.
Yeah. Right.
And they posted it. And you can see that the players don't want to look bad ever, especially from like a USMNT account.
Not.
Like it's like it's not about... you know, it's definitely a risk you take when you make one of your own players kind of like just what it doesn't matter what it is, just like look bad in any kind of way at all. Mm-hmm. When, you know, Instagram is supposed to be about the best parts of our lives, not this.
No, but the thing is, once you put something out into the universe of internets, right? It's going to be received however people are going to receive it, no matter what, even if it's with like a positive intention. Like you saw, or at least I saw it over the summer when I was working with Juve and Vlahovic happened to just be behind me.
Right, right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I gave the okay. I said, it's okay. We don't have to do another retake. I actually think that that's really funny.
Yeah, that was.
I did. I was like, I think it's funny. Like, go ahead. It's not a big deal, right? So they post it, and the reception was mixed, right? Some people were like, this is so funny. A lot of people were like, oh, comparing him to Ronaldo, having done that behind a reporter. And then there was the other shades of it that were just overwhelmingly negative, that were like, why is he doing that to a woman? That's so disrespectful. And yeah. I'm like, time out. I gave the okay.
Exactly.
I think it's funny. I laughed at it. Don't attack him for that. Mm-hmm. Like, I take responsibility for that because I gave my approval to use my likeness to do this.
Right, exactly.
You know? And then there was also the other layer of it that was like, oh, he wouldn't have done this if it was a guy reporter. And it's like, it's so immaterial at that point that it's like, why can't you just laugh? Yeah. Like, I give you permission to just laugh and have a good time.
Yeah.
But so that's the problem, right? It's like, and with that being said, there's still a chain of command by default of like what gets posted on socials from these teams and doesn't. So yeah. For me, it was a failure on multiple levels for them to have now legitimately, whether they intended to or not, it doesn't matter, right? This isn't a court of law. We're not going based on intent. You attacked your own player and then encouraged other people to do the same by posting it.
So look, I don't know what the final sort of solution is here, because it does look like Osimhen is quite upset, and it's
rightfully
not,
so.
He scored in the game against Udinese and didn't celebrate. I mean, he didn't. He hugged kind of his teammates. There was also some video that was going around of him arriving to training mm-hmm. and like dapping up a couple players and skipping a few, which also it just leads to all these questions. So yeah. It makes it seem like. You know, contract year, is it like a power move? Is it?
I think it's exacerbating pre-existing things that are going on, yeah. Including the fact that they thought that they'd have that contract issue wrapped up mm-hmm. last month in August, when Osimhen made a very bold statement saying like, no, I'm staying around. The fans, the Napoli fans adore him.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Do not get me wrong.
They dress like
but
him.
It seems like, yeah, there's
a little too much, too accurately sometimes.
There's just, I think, probably a lot of questions for him coming into this side with Rudy Garcia, in that there isn't the same success as they saw under Spalletti. That's not to say that Spalletti always had, you know, give me a break. The ultra stole his steering wheel in the beginning of his tenure. Okay. So, hey, you know, it doesn't always go that way. But I feel like this kind of would be the kind of thing that would tip the scale, because it's showing, granted, the social team, that, you know, your team isn't necessarily behind you here.
Yeah. I mean, exactly. Look, you got to feel for the social media admin to be like, I can't believe I fumbled this. I fumbled a player.
Yeah, right? You're like, listen, you are the cause of losing our primary.
I ruined all the negotiations. We're going to have to pay him a couple extra $1 million.
I don't know. That admin definitely needs a drink.
I mean, absolutely wild. Let's move on to the U.S. Open Cup final. Inter Miami loses to the Houston Dynamo. And finally, James Harden gets his first ring.
Oh, so, hey-o.
Well, that's pretty dope.
Got him.
James Harden's pretty happy about that. But yeah, James Harden is one of the owners of the Houston Dynamo and the Houston Dash. So good for him. But no Messi in this game, nor Jordi Alba. And this was a game where I think, you know, generally you would probably favor Inter Miami at home. But Houston did not care. Houston looked really, really good. This is easily the best game I've ever seen them play this season. Last season, Houston were a nightmare. They were like second to last, I think, in the Western Conference. But they look sharp. And I think the addition of Héctor Herrera, who, you know, I think leaving Atletico Madrid, and you're like, oh, he's kind of old. He's like, we've seen him play for Mexico. He almost doesn't even get called up to Mexico all the time. And I'm like, oh, he's kind of slow. Can he keep up and all that stuff? And it's like, yo, my man is body people, yeah, bro. Yeah, but yeah. Héctor Herrera is like, I think sometimes people forget, like, my man is like kind of a unit. I was in at All Star in LA when it was against the MLS MLS
was it Liga MX?
Liga MX, yeah. And I was in the elevator with Memo Ochoa, and I just
that's the best elevator ride.
Yeah, and that was the first. I was literally
I'd have been like, let me get. Do I ask him first for his hair care tips, or do I just like stare at him longingly?
But I'm like I'm sat next to him. I'm like, yo, my man is handsome, bro. Like handsome, handsome.
El
okay?
Guapo.
Okay. And then then you just sort of forget, like, some of the players on the Mexican national team are just, like, they're not, like, small dudes. Like, I think sometimes soccer players tend to be kind of, like, kind of look like us or whatever. And then you stand next to, like, a Memo, and even Hector Herrera is also a pretty tall dude, big dude. And he was just mushing people off the ball. And this is what the thing I thought with Houston overall with Miami. Miami, I don't know if it's fatigue or just Houston were just like a stronger team. But
Miami, they're bad without Messi. I don't know if you noticed.
I wouldn't, but they...
You just got to say like it is sometimes, they are, Christine.
I swear to God, because right, it's like everything, all the fundamentals went right out the window. Ball retention, counterattack, what? They never met one. Finishing in the final third, they couldn't even get a shot off on target. Like, it just was so bad that first half. But also, Houston were silky.
Bro. Okay,
a cohesive unit. The movement, the passing, the fluidity, the expectation. They were literally dancing on Inter-Miami players at one point, just peeling the ball back left foot to right and dribbling around them. I would have been so deeply embarrassed. I would have asked to have been subbed off. You're doing this in front of your Lord and Savior Messi. That man was even pursing his lips. Like, yeah,
what? At the first goal. Who scored the first goal? I forgot his name.
Bassi?
No. It starts with an O, his last name.
Sorry, looking it up.
No, it's okay. He scored that goal and they went the Messi cam.
Griffin Dorsey.
Dorsey.
Oh, yeah, that was a ripper. It was a nice shot.
And even Messi was like, ooh, okay.
Yeah, he literally did the lip purse.
Many people can make Messi's lips purse, okay?
You know what I would do if I were him? I would buy one of those digital photo frames and just have that replay in my home over and over again.
Like a nice GIF rotation of
Messi watching me score a banger. Yeah.
I would take that, of course. All right.
Approval from my parents? No. Messi? Yes.
I would tattoo every frame of that on my body.
Just across your back, like a comic book strip, just rolling.
Okay. Like you said, Houston, it didn't matter how many Miami players press, and you can clearly see that there's like those trigger moments where like two or three players go after the ball, and Houston looked just unshaken. Okay,
I don't know what Ben Olsen's pep talk was, but it was effective.
It worked, man. So it was an impressive thing from impressive performance from Houston. The pageantry of it was also interesting. Gianni Infantino was there. your boy.
Yeah, we know I'm a huge, huge fan of him.
Zinedine Zidane.
Zizou pulling up
was kind of...
It's impressive.
If Messi's not playing...
We've got Zizou in Miami. Like, who... I don't... Watching a U.S. Open cup game.
Yeah,
I don't know what Sliding Doors episode this is, but I'm here for it.
But look, if Messi can't play... If Messi's injured, there's no reason why Zizou can't just step in, bro. Put on the
Seriously.
Pink.
Seriously.
You're like, we're going to rejigger the roster rules just for this U.S. Open Cup final. All of... Yeah. Zinedine Zidane entering sub 67th minute. Yeah.
Zionel like, Zessi coming out to the pitch, number 10.
The cool haircut, Zionel. my first ever soccer game that I ever went to in my life was Zinedine Zidane played in it. It was Roma against Real Madrid at Giant Stadium. And
oh my gosh.
Zidane, I got to see Zidane. This was in 2000, 2001, something like that.
That's crazy.
Sorry, I am baby. I wasn't born yet.
My parents were just talking about having me.
So. I don't know what you mean. I have not been on this earth for that long.
I saw Gabriel Batistuta on Roma, and then I saw Roberto Carlos and Figo.
The good old days.
Oh, it was a different time.
Gather around, children. Get your Werther's original.
Miami score a late goal, but it was definitely... It was too late. I mean, they had no real...
They didn't have any rhythm that whole
match. Even think they had a shot on goal until like maybe early in the second half or something. Like, it was really,
really
bad.
It was really, really bad. Even some of the first touches, I was like, oh my God. And this is not to make me look better, but you know, like I like to look better. some of the like just receiving the ball and like being able to hang on to it looked very U8s where you're like, buddy,
damn,
like
vicious,
how
vicious no, critique.
It's not even like they'd have a second with the ball and it would be gone. And you'd be like, how almost like that weird, like it bopped off your shin guard when you're a little kid and you're like, oh, it's gone. I already am chasing after.
Yeah, that doesn't happen to me now. It didn't happen to me this Sunday. I'm glad I'm over that phase of my life.
Look at me just like chatting shit from the bench where I have like one stray ligament hanging on with my knee together. I'm like, now's the time to go. It's my shit talking era.
I mean, I would chalk that up a little bit to fatigue. I mean, Miami have played a lot of games, and we talk a lot about Messi and Busquets and Alba and how many minutes they're getting and how you know.
For sure. This difficult. Is definitely...
But it's hard on those other players, right, too. They are playing all those games.
Managing the rotation, especially in MLS, just dividing that up is no small task, okay? Mm-hmm. When you look at, like, Cincinnati, who I thought had, like, the greatest chance of making it to this final, they were doing a really effective job of rotating and maintaining almost every single bit of depth they had in that squad and putting their best feet on each field every single match.
Yeah.
And it just didn't come to fruition.
Yeah. And when it comes to, I mean, they would have been in the final if Messi didn't send that incredible pass to Campana and whatever.
No, why couldn't Messi be injured that day?
So, but this game, I think it just caught up to them. I think Drake Callender has kept Miami in, got them to this final.
I was still relatively impressed with how Drake Callender
played. I think
so too,
but I think you can't discount the fact that Messi is a massive part of all of their forward momentum.
I'm discounting it. He means nothing.
You can, but...
Never heard of the guy.
I mean, just to temper some of the delusions of people that were like, oh yeah, Messi's coming into this like last place team. They're going to win the league. And I'm like...
Well, I mean...
Excuse me?
Let's talk about...
You know how many games that requires to, like, pick up all that?
Let's talk about how this is being handled because, up until yesterday, we thought it was still a possibility that he might play. He did not train with Miami, and then they were still doing the, like, well, we'll see how he is, it's going to be a game-time decision. And usually, when you don't train the day before the game, you're most likely
you're not playing.
Yep. But how do you feel about the... how vague they are being about his injury status. They're still saying muscle fatigue. I'm like, there's no way.
I suspect he has probably a muscular injury and he's been trying to play through it, work through it.
Yeah.
But like, again, on a fully healthy body, this is a lot of matches and he's literally putting this team on his back. I think that when he was like subbed off, when he requested to be subbed off, that was the first inclination I had that something might not be 100% with him. Mm-hmm. Like, even he isn't going to necessarily, granted, he knows his body better than anybody else. I don't think he would have pulled himself if it were simply like, I'm just tired.
Yeah.
There's something underlying, and I think they'll probably keep it under wraps for as long as possible. Because remember, you've got all these sellout games ahead that people are counting on.
I think it's about money.
The Messi magic. And yeah, like it looks bad. It falls poorly for fans.
So there's a couple MLS matches remaining. And do, you know, Miami... do they need to go to the playoffs? Probably not. Obviously, they already have a CONCACAF Champions Cup spot. But this is... I don't feel comfortable with how this is being handled. I mean, with will he, won't he, is he going to play, whatever. Just like, if it's a serious injury, let everybody know. Like, let people sell their tickets if they don't want to go to the game. Like, it's kind of a frustrating situation. And I also think it puts Messi under unnecessary pressure where people can start to be upset with him personally for, like, not playing.
I mean, football fans are irrational, so I write that off from jump. People are going to be mad or they're going to fabricate one instead of going to therapy.
Yeah.
So, you know, if Messi is the target man of the week for their vitriol, like, so be it. I do think it's going to be unfair, you know, on the fan side, because obviously everybody wants to see him play. He's going to be a massive draw, as he has been, no matter what. I'm pretty sure people would pull up just to watch Messi chew a stick of gum.
Yeah, I tune in, and if he's on Twitch doing that, I'll get on board. Do you think he plays any games the rest of the season?
Maybe.
I think,
would it be wise for him to? Probably not if he actually does have an injury. If he's got a strain or a sprain happening, like, let him rest.
Yeah.
Let him rest.
I think the...
you don't think, though, they held him out of this game specifically hoping that he would play again this weekend and then maybe he plays again the next weekend? You know, just one every two games instead of every single game?
It seems... I mean, look, I think Taylor Twellman gave his thoughts.
If he wasn't even on the sheet...
Yeah,
no.
It's not a good look. I think it's either...
Because I think they would have left the door at least cracked open to potentially entertained the idea of him being used as a sub.
Yeah.
And then that would have been a little bit, for me at least, more positivity moving forward. Like, oh, it's just something, you know, obviously you're on the sheet at least as a sub. Doesn't mean that you have to be subbed on, but at least it's more telling that he's able-bodied enough to potentially.
A lot of people are generally saying, like, we have to look long-term and start thinking about 2024. And it would just be a bummer if in these next few games, you know, I know the Chicago Fire are promoting the game against Inter Miami a whole bunch. They're doing big. I just saw they did a giveaway and everybody's so excited that they won tickets to the game at Soldier Field. And to not have him there would just be a bummer. So it's just like, yo, let's just rip the Band-Aid off. That's it. Hey, if he's done for the year, be done for the year, and then we'll start planning for the future.
I think they're trying to manage the optics of it.
Yeah.
Which I don't fault them for. There's been sellouts across the board. You don't want there to be empty stadiums.
Yeah.
People that spent, you know, like $500 on a ticket to see him, I'm sure would probably still pull up rather than just eat the ticket.
I blame Apple.
Don Garber, what are you doing?
This is just like, you know, when a new iPhone comes out and then your old iPhone just starts to explode and they don't tell you. They're like, no, you don't need to get the new iPhone. But why is my old iPhone 400 degrees? But they're like, no, it's just a coincidence that it happened right now.
When the new
iPhone came out. Interesting. That's all. They just, this is typical.
Classic Apple.
Time to re-up for Apple. Renew your subscription. Apple, you can slip me a check in the mail. I don't get paid by you guys.
A wild game, and we'll see what ends up happening with Lionel Messi. But I mean, look, Lionel Messi, it's fall. We're heading into fall. He'll have a good opportunity to maybe rest at home, maybe to chill. And the best way to chill is with a nice cold Coors Light, Christine Coupeau. Okay.
That was good. That was a good mind.
Incredible object work, as we say in improv class.
See, okay? I got range.
Okay. You know, the good thing, and this is what Messi's going to know when a Coors Light is cold enough to drink, because the mountains turn blue right on the can or bottle. On the can or bottle. They do it on any drinking device that you could think of. Coors Light is on top of it, and they'll make sure that those mountains turn blue when it is cold enough. So Coors Light is the one we choose when we need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/Cooligans. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Feel free to hit the button, Christine.
I just want to... that feels nice. Cold is the Rocky.
Perfect. I want to talk about a couple things, because the Seattle Sounders have done a rebrand, an MLS rebrand. You know, you want it, you need it.
I usually hate these, but I'm not gonna lie, I love some of these more like throwback-esque little redesigns.
Yeah. Let me mute this real quick. But yeah, this is it's fun. I mean, they did. It's for the 50th anniversary of the Seattle Sounders. And every time we hear the word rebrand in Major League Soccer, we already start like clenching the buttholes. We're just like,
yeah, there's definitely clenching happening. I still feel that way about the Revs rebrand. Like, give me back my Crayola flag.
Okay,
you jerks.
Yeah. That's fair. And
Kansas City Whiz. Bring that back too. I have a list.
So with any rebrand, there's always the trying to find the balance of, like, you know, respect to the history, but also trying to look as modern as possible. And the Sounders went with a definitely minimalist approach. I mean, and this version of the logo that we're looking at right now, which is like the 3D rendered version, this feels like... The reason I like this in particular, and not just a flat 2D image of the crest, where it just like... It looks so good and shiny. I'm like, I want to touch it. I want to touch it. Yes. I'm like touching my skin. I want to feel. There's just like a sensory thing.
We're you just know like, that green background is like a little bit grippy. I want to
I want to touch the little grippy part.
Like your grandma's velvet couch. You're like, I just.
Okay, this badge is ribbed for our pleasure. This is great,
bro.
Our sexuality is soccer. Yeah.
They knew what they were doing. But they got a proper. The badge. This is the 2D version of the badge, and obviously has all the colors. Has the space needle. But then they have like the secondary crest, which I just like the
little
the
wave
sound, the wave through the sounders thing. And then is that a car? That's a carnation, I believe.
I don't think they're gonna go after their Northwest rivals and be like Rose, you know.
It says carnation right there. I should have just read that. But obviously making all the news. The orca has returned.
Sammy the orca is back.
I love him. And her, him,
they, them. Okay,
I love them.
All right. All I know is I don't know if he has balls, but he got a soccer ball. okay, I know that for sure. But Sam,
hi, National Geographic. We have questions.
But Sammy, the orca is going to be the third crest, or like the tertiary crest, as they say. People are into it. You have a successful rebrand when not that many people are upset. That's the bar nowadays.
For sure, but I feel like they did this well. Like, this was well thought out. The mm-hmm. rationale is evident. You don't have to draw up a explainer map for your rebrand, which is never a good idea. If you realize that, like, it's kind of like having to explain a joke to somebody. If you need to go through with like a PowerPoint presentation for your brand explainer, you already lost your target audience. Bold.
I mean, explainers are very popular in soccer, in American soccer specifically.
If they're done well.
Okay.
It's far and few between, though. If you make it too heavy on like this, and then it's like such a reach that you're like, what? How is that even relevant? Like, you're just making things up on the fly.
Right, I'm sorry.
Some of them are done really poorly. But this is great. I would totally rock like an orca t-shirt on its own. Like,
absolutely.
Give me a big, like, kids looking orca t-shirt.
Yeah. It reminded me of the, there was nothing better. I don't have the photo pulled up, but when we went to the MLS Cup final, when Sounders played Toronto and they won, there was a guy selling MLS World Cup champions Seattle Sounders.
Yeah.
I bought two. Yo, my man, I need these. It was just great because when the bootleg merch at MLS All-Star and MLS Cup, that's really the only time you ever really see it.
Yes.
And it's just that these people, they don't know what they're selling. I don't know. They don't even know where they got it.
I'm still waiting for Chicago to win the World Cup. It's fine.
Right. So it's just a classic classic one. I got to find that hat. Where is that hat? It's somewhere in storage.
Some guy on Canal Street is selling it for you, bro.
MLS World Cup.
$2 for $3.
But I like this. I don't know what the general consensus is from Sounders fans. I've heard there's a I forgot the name. Rave Green. It might be Rave Green TV. This guy's on TikTok that obviously like a Sounders fan channel. I'm not happy with it. So I'm assuming some Sounders fans are not into it. But I've heard that some people are generally happy that the Space Needle is still there. The colors are still there. I'm not a, like, badge or jersey, like, aficionado. I'm just like, whatever. Like, can you kick the damn ball into the net? I could care less. I mean,
Seattle, big soccer city. Like, listen, there's some people that don't like candy. For me, this is like overwhelmingly good. There's going to be some people that dislike it, but
absolute monsters.
I think they did a good job.
Absolute monsters if they don't
tip
like
tip of the cap to you, Seattle.
Candy. Who doesn't like candy? You a cop?
Definitely.
I also want to talk about this. This is Carson Pickett, who's the fullback for Racing Louisville, has got on my radar recently. Obviously, she's an incredible player. She's also she played for the U.S. men's women's national team earlier. Was it last year or early this year? I don't know. She got a few caps, but she is a player. She has part of her arm missing. She has a limb difference, mm-hmm. and she is now the first player in EAFC / FIFA, whatever you want to call it.
It's EAFC now.
I'm just saying.
Are we respecting EAFC like we're not respecting X? Because I kind of view them the same way. I'm always going to call the game FIFA, no matter what.
It's difficult to change this. Yeah, but this is like
FC 24, Mike. FC 24.
This is just, we have to adapt. Mike, because this is like when somebody tells you if they change their pronouns, and we're like, no, you're still FIFA.
Hold on. Don't put that on. I feel like that's a little bit different.
You're FIFA.
I feel like that's a little bit different.
We're going to be problematic people.
Nope. I can't.
But no, she's the first player in EAFC history to have a limb difference in the game, which is kind of cool. And so this is kind of a cool thing. So the Twitter account, X account. Look, all these names are changing. We got to get
sorry. Sorry.
It's really
okay,
hard.
Okay, boomer. The internet.
Back in my day, there was only one video game.
Anyway, Greg Cody. We got to get Greg Cody to do a back in my day. I'm calling it FIFA instead of EAFC.
But so the account together... tweets, can't wait to watch Carson Pickett do this celebration in real life next time she's on the pitch. And the video is of Carson Pickett doing a bicycle kick and then doing a cartwheel, which is the animation. You would, obviously, both hands would be on the ground.
Listen, clearly, I believe that Carson can get a one-armed cartwheel down.
Without a doubt. I don't
doubt
it.
She's already
at all.
A badass in that back line. So, I mean, let's see.
She hasn't scored many goals, mm-mm. But I mean, this definitely, I'm sure she'll be thinking about it next time she does.
So, Carson, bike to cartwheel transition.
We have it in our, we see the vision, okay? But I love this tweet from her. Carson Pickett tweets out, she quote tweets it and says, oh my God, imagine I'll start practicing. So it is, would love to see that. So that, it's obviously great that obviously she can joke around about this and stuff like that. And she's also had incredibly heartwarming moments.
She got to meet the fan. That is burned in my brain because it was so wholesome.
The baby that also has the limb difference and same exact part of her arm missing. And they're like sort of touching arms. It's just like incredibly
very cute.
Adorable. And so great that she can laugh about this. But then I also love this. This is somebody tweet this. Caitlin Whiteside tweeted a picture of Ari Borges, who's also a Racing Louisville player. We saw her in the Women's World Cup and for the Brazilian national team. And she said, y'all, my Ari bobblehead broke when I took it out of the box. And the arm is broken. And you can see the arm on the ground of the bobblehead. And Carson Pickett retweets this and says, looks like me now. Bro, this is hilarious.
She has absolutely like a top sense of humor. I love it so much. I love it.
This is great. This is the thing where I've always been a fan of Carson Pickett. She's never done our show. Carson, dude, please.
Come on the show. Come on the show.
Me swooping in like, Carson, come on attacking third. Do attacking third first and then come see Christian.
Okay, look. I know CBS has more pull than we do.
Excuse me while I
first. We ask first. We're first.
Okay.
Call us, Carson. I mean, both of us.
So this is hilarious, and it's just great to see us. She has a sense of humor about this stuff.
I love big personalities who are also absolute ballers. It's just such a treat.
Yeah. Carson Pickett also is a player who, I don't know, I mean... I don't know how many opportunities she may have, but I think more national team call-ups, should be in the picture because she's, I think, one of the best fullbacks in the country for sure. we'll wrap here. I just want to get some quick prediction, obviously, because you're on attacking third. The NWSL standings, and there's only a couple games left. I think, it's like 4 or 5 games left, if I'm not mistaken.
Are there that many? Yeah, it sounds about right. If not,
it looks like five.
Although okay. I'm a person who asked what day it was 3 times today. So. Rely on me.
But this is the how many points? Oh, this is I forgot who pointed this out. It might have been someone attacking third. But this is the first time in NWSL that every team has at least 20 points.
Yes, I think that actually was Courtney Stith.
Okay,
she's Courtney, yeah, one of our producers on attacking third. She crushes it.
And this is a strong season in NWSL where we don't have a clear, like, I mean, even though, you know, I think the Red Stars have been on the butt of a lot of jokes, but even them, they're still decent. I mean, if Mallory Swanton doesn't get injured, I think it's a different season for the Red Stars. But the just the fact that there's just like no clear... Nobody's clinched anything.
I mean, competition levels rise, and like this is the kind of champagne problem that you have.
Yeah.
So they've been duking it out. My pick for winning the league was the Courage.
Okay.
And they've obviously had a couple losses in between there.
But one loss, one draw changes, exactly. You know, whether you are winning the supporter shield or not making the playoffs at all. You know what I mean?
Right, like, right. Yeah, it's very dicey, right? High stakes game here.
It's pretty intense. And I'm watching, obviously, a lot of the Gotham games. And with Gotham FC, I think they've... obviously the rebrand and
right. the recent addition of World Cup winner Esther Gonzalez,
who you took a photo with.
I did. I was like, this is going to be, I'm going to hang it in my home. she's lovely and she's a massive, massive get for Gotham. Yeah. Now, if you look at also the current free agency list for NWSL is absolutely bananas. That thing is like reams of paper long, and there are some spicy names on there. So we're going to see some big changes, I think, ahead.
You guys did like a five-a-side or something of like free agents. Yeah. I saw someone.
We did that blindly too, by the way. Like we didn't see who else, anyone else. And I thought I was being like mastermind, where I'm like, I'm going to choose players. Like, of course, someone else is going to choose Rose Lavelle. So I'm going to, do a little sneaky. And all of us ended up with like Emily Fox on our five-a-side, which like is a testament to how good she is, probably like a little bit more underrated. And then also like Sinead Fairley, that I was like, yeah, I'm going to put her as my midfielder. And Jenny and I had both bopped her up. So there's going to be very spicy moves ahead.
Yeah, I think these just the next couple weeks are going to be pretty intense, where I saw a video of Gotham put out where Ali Krieger and Midge Purse were mic'd up and they were just like kind of warming up before the game. And they were just like talking about like, Midge was like, it feels like a playoff game. And Ali's like, yeah, it is a playoff game if you want to win, you want to win the title at the end of the year. Yep. And it's just like the margins of error are going to be so much smaller. It's every single kind of point matters, whether you're at the top, whether you get a bye, whether you are hosting a game, Gotham has like been in first for a week, and then now they're in third and stuff like that. So it's a wild couple weeks. So make sure you tune in. And on top of that, if the rain, I mean, it'd be heartbreaking if the rain don't make the playoffs and we don't get to see Rapinoe for a little bit longer. But then that's also part of it, like Rapinoe watch and how much longer we're going to see her as a professional soccer player. And I want to see her there as long as possible. So
I do too. I think she'll have a massive legacy on the field, but off field, I think we'll still be seeing a lot of her.
No doubt. Megan Rapinoe, come do the show. Wick Carson Pickett. Hey, whatever you
That'd
want.
That'd be the biggest show in Portland's history, bro.
Forget attacking third. I'm sure. Audacity. Has Rapinoe done attacking third?
No, not to my recent knowledge.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
I don't know if she had previously, but.
All right, bro.
She's got some obligations when she retires.
She's a little bit busy right now. All right, everybody. Thank you again for tuning in. Shout out to Christine Kupo for joining
Queen Kupo,
us.
Queen of Blangola.
Thank you, gang.
Queen of Blangola.
Crushing it, per usual. Christine, where can people follow you? Where can they see you?
I am, of course, on the X.
Okay.
You can find me on the X, kids. No,
you back with him?
Formerly known as Twitter. Oh, God. Yeah. Underneath, of course, right. Or the whole case. But I digress. You can find me on I'm calling it Twitter at C Kupo, also Instagram still at Miss Kupo, but on Golazzo Network, Attacking Third, Morning Footy, the Champions Club, Champions League Sound. So me and my colleagues are doing a pretty good job of giving you some comprehensive world football coverage.
Absolutely crushing it every day out there on CBS and Paramount Plus. Make sure you go follow and support Christine. Before I go, I just want to give a quick shout out to Jeff Atanella.
Yes. Love these shirts, bro.
You may
Love
remember
the
him from
let's see. Got the ice there
it
is. There.
You may remember him as the goalkeeper for the Portland Timbers, but he's also a Florida native.
Florida man.
He's a Tampa guy. But he started a company called Smack Apparel. He makes a bunch of shirts. And there's a bunch of, like, apparel for a bunch of teams. But he made this one in particular for Inter Miami fans and Messi. And it's a GOAT T-shirt wearing a number 10. Jeff is the best. So he sent these to us. So shout out to Jeff Atanella, the homie. just incredible to call just a legendary MLS goalkeeper friend and just sending his shirts. What a life.
Shout out the homie. Shout out the homie.
So shout out to you, Jeff.
Cool shirt too. Very cool shirt.
Yeah, yeah. Smack Apparel. Go check it out. As always, make sure you follow us at Soccer Cooligans on all social channels. Make sure subscribe to the Patreon. We got a new No Cap Recap episode talking fatherhood. Getting emotional. We talk about daddy issues, okay?
It's an extended edition, then. Like, it's a series.
It goes on pretty long. it was a great episode, so make sure you join the Patreon. You can get
and real quick,
to
too,
that.
Before we get out of here, great guests next week. We got two incredible guests coming on the show next week. You don't want to miss it.
Right. Can we say...
Got to keep them low-key.
We got to keep them low-key. We can't say the names.
It's embargo.
It's Megan Rapinoe and Carson Pigott. Sorry,
like, wait, was this kind of hype preamble for me showing up today? Because I demand a redo.
Of course. Of course.
Okay.
Everyone knew.
They are specifically coming to promote the fact that they will not be on Attacking Third. it's very strange, but that's what they decided to do. Two huge guests coming next week, so make sure you tune in for that. Subscribe to the podcast, as always. Subscribe on YouTube. Hit subscribe, leave a comment, a positive one, if you are a good person. And if you're not, you're going to do what you're going to do anyway. So we'll see you on Monday, everybody. Peace.
It's the Cooligans, buddy.
Now's the time to start your next adventure behind the wheel of an exciting new Toyota hybrid. With the largest lineup of hybrid, plug-in hybrid, and electrified vehicles to choose from, Toyota has the one for you. Every new Toyota hybrid comes with Toyota Care 2-year complimentary scheduled maintenance, an exclusive hybrid battery warranty, and Toyota's legendary quality and reliability. Visit your local Toyota dealer today. Toyota, let's go places. See your local Toyota dealer for hybrid battery warranty details.